Good morning. And last night, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly met in regular session. Joining us this morning with an update on last night's meeting is Assemblymember Bill Rotecki. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you and everybody who might be listening. Turn up that radio. No.
Okay. And I may be wrong, but it looked like a fairly light agenda and possibly a fairly short meeting. Lots of discussion.
Well, yes and yes. You never know how those things are going to go.
Okay. And so under public hearings, looked at quite a few ordinances. And one of them, Ordinance 1716, was looking at, kind of planning revisions. And under that, it added a conditional use permit for extraction and processing of resources. Was that something that was needed to be done, this ordinance, kind of to allow activities in areas that otherwise wouldn't be allowed? Or how did that come out? I mean, I'm guessing it's sort of like cleaning up a process that wasn't in place.
Well, it's actually a fairly complex issue, and it remains to be seen how this is an attempt to deal with things that are not regulated or poorly regulated or in the gray area, and so, like many things, the Borough Assembly did its best to improve it, and it remains to be seen how well that will be. Assembly is hopeful that this will provide a solution, but it's not a. I don't even know where to start. I think I better backtrack a little bit.
Please, for example.
There's been always a distinction between a quarry where you would harvest rock and sell it as a commercial enterprise and developing your lot. So in Ketchikan, because much of it is on rock, are you quarrying if you just develop your lot? No, you're not. And the distinction was you're not doing it for sale. But, of course, there may have been people who get around that or, you know, do trades or whatever, but that really wasn't what was being addressed in a sense. What was being addressed is probably better put in the way that if you want to do any of those activities, now it requires a conditional use permit. And in that conditional use permit, then whatever conditions that the Planning Commission wants to put on that permit would control that activity, whereas currently it's pretty uncontrolled. As part of that, it's now allowed everywhere. So your next-door neighbor could apply for a conditional use permit to actually extract and process any natural resource, which could be timber, it could be rocks, it could be whatever natural resource there is. And they could be denied or approved, or more likely they would be approved with conditions. It still was fairly contentious because this has been an ongoing thing for I don't know how long, certainly 10 or 20 years in Bear Valley, and what the neighbors are doing and what the residents is doing. But what happened last night was an ordinance was approved that allows people in any zoning to apply for natural resource extraction as well as natural resource processing on site, which would include sale of those materials. And the hope is that this would mean that rather than unregulated and unnoticed activity, people would apply for permits, and the permit would be something that one would hope would take into account the neighborhood. You know, with the example brought up last night, what if there's a bus stop for kids next door? And you might greatly modify what that permit would do, as opposed to, obviously, if it's an area, if you have a 100-acre parcel and they have no neighbors, then the conditional use permit would be much more permissive. So what was passed was that you can, for most zones, you can apply for a conditional use permit. And, for example, for resource extraction and processing and sale, and in heavy industrial, it's not a conditional use permit. It's a permit that comes as a right with that zoning. So this was brought about because of the realization that we really don't have a good way to regulate that right now. And so this is supposed to be a way to regulate it. So now it's going to be in the hands of the Planning Commission and the Borough Assembly to do a good job at matching the conditional use permit with the conditions of the site and the needs of the owner, or conditions of the site, the neighbors, whatever, you know, to match that. Am I getting too long-winded, or is this...
No, it makes sense, but it sounds like it is very much a complex issue that it'll be interesting what types of projects people will now potentially want to undertake.
Yes, it is a very interesting and... We have just begun a road, and we'll see how well the road leads us to the goals that we have. And since we don't all share the same goals, it'll be quite interesting to see how it pans out.
Okay. And also brought up was the rezone of a piece of property that is near KRBD and the library that has been a little bit controversial. And I understand that that was approved and that there will be some activities going on there.
Well, that's going to be the first example of how the COP, how well it's executed. So they will need, let's see, they're going to light industrial. Light industrial, I have to look that up. I should have anticipated this question. Oh, well, okay. Part of the property was rezoned as commercial. Part of it was rezoned as light industrial. I'm sure about the commercial. I don't remember the light industrial. Commercial will require a CUP. Actually, I think they both require CUPs, but I'm not 100% sure about the light industrial. So the CUP, which stands for conditional use permit, must be applied for. And then the Planning Commission can make their recommendations of what conditions are placed on that permit. You know, for example, the conditions could be hours of operation. They could be actually almost anything. You have to build a berm wall. You have to do whatever. Only so many number of days per year. The ordinance allows it to be up to a 3-year permit, and also allows that to be... Both of these are at the discretion of the Planning Commission and then subsequently the approval of the Borough Assembly. It allows a 3-year permit, which could also be renewed for another 3 years. So one of the concerns of the neighborhood residents was, could you subdivide your parcel in half and then do that on one half, and then after you've done your rock extraction, then apply for it on the next half, meaning basically it's 12 years. And the answer is technically yes, and practically it remains to be seen, because these are legislative bodies, you know, how they would act when those are applied for. Every application will be reviewed separately. So, you know, that was one of the things that came out last night. Trying to think if there were other comments that I should remind people of. Well, that pretty much describes it. You know, it's going to be a process where you apply. You're a landowner and you have things that you want to do on your lot, and you apply for the conditional use permit. Conditional use permit is for things that are not automatically granted as a right of your zoning. So, your zoning, say your zoning is RL, which is low density residential. You have a right to build a house up to a certain size, up to a certain lot coverage with setbacks and so forth. If you want to do, there are other activities that are only allowed with a permit, and that permit, like I said, has a lifespan of 3 years, possible renewal of another 3 years. So you apply, but when you apply, then it goes before the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission notifies, the Planning Department notifies neighbors within a certain range, and I think they've been pretty good about If it's something that's likely to be more controversial, they extend the range so that everybody's notified. You know, they'll post a sign on the property, so if you drive by, you'll see the sign that says such and such permits being applied for. Then the process begins. You know, the neighborhood that's affected gets the opportunity to weigh in on it, and the owner gets an opportunity to weigh in on it, and within the rules of the ordinances, the Planning Commission makes a judgment.
Okay, and again, you said that one parcel we're speaking about is, I guess, the test at this point of some of the ordinance changes.
Well, one would expect, let's see. Actually, it was never, the votes were pretty clear that they were going to get approval by the Assembly. Of course, everybody has a right to change their mind and reconsider and so forth. But I think the will of the Assembly was pretty clearly indicated that they're not planning on preventing that from happening. There will be conditions placed, and very likely those conditions will be the same conditions that were first proposed in the original rezone. And those included number of days of extraction. They included hours of operation. And I think they also wanted to make sure that there was some kind of sound protective barrier, physical barrier, to reduce noise intrusion. And that's it, you know.
Okay. All right, and you mentioned reconsiderations, and brought up again was a proposed annexation to the Forest Park Service Area that had failed before but passed this time.
Yeah, I guess you could say the difference was there was a member absent who was there. Well, actually, there was another member absent last night that was there. I don't know what the difference was. I don't know why people changed their minds. But in any case, that's not over. Forest Park Service Area is going to be given the opportunity to expand and include the properties along the road that leads up to the Forest Park subdivision, and also a piece of property that's up higher, that's adjacent to the subdivision. All of these properties use to a greater or lesser degree roads that are maintained by the Forest Park Service Area. So in other words, there are people who are using the roads and they're not contributing to their maintenance. Now, that's really a lot more complex than that, because the people on the road that has access to Forest Park believe that they have basically a contract, even though it wasn't written, because the owner of that land gave permission to run that road through that property. And they believe that they were given grandfather rights that they were not going to have to pay for. They were not going to have to join Forest Park, and they were not going to have to pay for the maintenance of that road. And that was in exchange for giving that easement to, or I don't know whether it's an easement or a right-of-way. I imagine it's a right-of-way, to the Forest Park subdivision. So they feel, I mean, that's their argument. They feel like their rights have been taken away, that there was an agreement in place. And the Forest Park subdivision primarily expressed a different point of view. Is it doesn't matter whether you use 1 foot of the road or, you know, approximately, you know, 15,000 feet of the road. Everybody is assessed, you know, the same proportion, assessed in the form of it being a property tax levy. So their feeling is that, you know, you're using the road, you should contribute. It's been a very difficult thing to grapple with, because in other areas, it's quite clear that this has been abused. And the example last night given is quite interesting. Is in Fairbanks, someone built a subdivision then someone else will build a subdivision past that where they have to go through the first subdivision, but they don't have to pay for the using of that road. And so the state law was changed so that you can actually force someone to pay for the use of a road. So that's complex. And then another complexity is that if it's over a certain size, you can require the permission of the people who are being absorbed, but this did not qualify for that provision. So, again, you know, the Borough Assembly grappled with it as best they could and came to the conclusion that the best solution was to, now it'll be put to a vote of the Forest Park, existing Forest Park service area, I believe, will vote on whether or not to annex these other properties. So there's going to be two more readings of this, and then it'll go to a vote.
Okay, all right. And I understand you are one of, you abstained because you are one of the, you have one of those parcels that's being considered.
I have a significant financial interest in one of those. Well, I'm a builder, so I'm building a house on one of those properties. So I abstained, and Mayor Kiefer judged that my conflict was significant, so I abstained. And you know, that's another whole topic. But how you judge if something is significant conflict of interest or not is subjective, and the state meant it to be that way. They meant it to be subjective, and up to the. Just a simple note for people who are curious about the process: the mayor, or in this case, the acting mayor, will make a judgment, but the assembly can overrule the mayor should they so choose. So they can contest the decision and on a vote change it if they want to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on from that subject. Just wanted to point that out. And then you also, there were a couple of fee increases that were proposed.
Yeah, definitely. The sludge fee is going up $5 a quarter, $20 a year, from $45 to $50 per quarter. There was definitely some, concern expressed for whether or not the fees are equitable or not. But I guess sometimes I have a hard time, just on a side note, I'm trying my best not to throw my spin and just say, this is what the assembly did. And, you know, sometimes it may be easier for me to say, okay, by the way, I felt this, but I think that's inappropriate at this time. If you want to call me up later and ask me what my spin is, then do that. But my belief was that the assembly in general felt like this, the equity should be reviewed on how those fees are applied, but the majority felt like, okay, it shouldn't be coming out of general funds. People who are getting the service should pay for the service. So the rates were raised as an attempt to make it equal. At the same time, that's only the cost, the external costs to the borough. That does not include staff time. So actually the people, you know, such as those of us who live outside of the city limits, that is, who are paying this fee, actually, it is still, even with the $5 increase, it is still somewhat subsidized. How much subsidized, I have no clue. It might be very minimal staff time. I don't know that. But the attempt was to make it break even and not be a drain on general funds. Another wrinkle to that is that actually the contract with the company that processes the sludge is up for renewal. And depending on how that contract is renewed, there could be something else coming down the pike. It's pretty unlikely that the price will go down. So that's something for people to, you know, to be looking at. And I should put in a plug, you know, the more engaged you are in your borough government, the better job they will do, the better job we can do for you, the more engaged you are, the more input you give us. You know, we don't like to be yelled at or nastygrams, but we do like information, and we do like to hear people's opinions.
Okay, and then the other fee was the South Tongass Service Area water fee. Was that a significant increase or a small increase?
Again, that was, I think the previous was about 8%. This is about a 10% increase over a 10-year. From the fee has been the same for 10 years. So you could say 10% increase over a 10-year period, approximately 1% per year. That's actually less than inflation, I believe. Another point that was discussed by the assembly was, is it better to do that, or is it better to have small increments, reviewed every 3 years or every 5 years or what? And that was brought up in discussion. It may be reviewed by the assembly or by staff and then presented to the assembly at a future meeting. But that was approved. Actually, the South Tonga Service Area increased the the borough made a recommendation, I think, of approximately 8%. It's approximate. But the South Tonga Service Area felt like it would be good to build even a small reserve. So they requested a 10% increase to try to build a little reserve for unanticipated emergencies. And that passed.
Okay. Those were the main things I saw. Did anything else come up last night that you think people should know about?
Yes, definitely. It may seem like a little point, but I think it's a definite move forward. We have been on a cycle of, everybody has a 3-year term. So over a 3-year period, you'll have 4 seats come up, then 2, then 2, making a total of 8. That's 7 assembly members and the mayor. And last night we approved changing that to a new schedule that will, not this year, but by having the mayor's seat expire in 2 years, this one time only, it will switch to a 3-3-2. And that will, the goal is to have more smooth, transitions in terms of institutional memory of existing members, and to get away from having not enough candidates, which, this year we're going to have, the borough election will have 4 people on the ballot, or 4 seats on the ballot, and the city will have 3 seats on the ballot. That's 7 candidates, and that's a lot for a small town in 1 year. And even 6 would be better.
Okay. And are the seats, is it 3 assembly members and the mayor, or?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Right. So the mayor is term limited out. Forgive me, I want to make sure anybody who's listening understands this. The mayor is term limited out, so that seat is up and he cannot run again. One assembly member, that's Agnes Moran, is term limited out, so that seat is up and she cannot run again. Then 2 other seats are up for re-election and they are not term limited out, and that would be Glenn Thompson and Mike Painter. And they have, not that I know of, have they declared the candidacy. Everybody make your own guess. But so there are going to be 3 borough assembly seats. Each of those will be 3-year seats. And there'll be the mayor's seat, which will be a 2-year seat. And so whoever is elected could serve a maximum of 5 years because they'll be limited out after the second term.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I think that's it, other than, thank everybody who gets involved, and the more involved you are, the better job we can do, and thank you, Maria, and we'll talk later.
All right, great. Thank you so much. Assemblymember Bill Rotecki with an update on last night's Borough Assembly meeting.